Blog Talk Radio.
Well, greetings, everyone. It is Sunday night, and that familiar sound means it's time for the weekend wrap, surveying the squared circle. Not a whole lot of action this weekend, but some exciting cards. The one that we did, were able to see, we're looking forward to this up-and-coming weekend. Some more action, but we have had a few announcements on some of the fights that are coming up, there's no Raymond tonight, but I will be joined by Mr. DeBron Clement. We have a little shortened show, only going to be on for 60 minutes tonight. We are going to be joined by Mr. John Scully. Scully will, of course, let us know what he has coming up on his agenda, as well as, his comments on the weekend's action. So I'm going to go ahead and get Mr. Scully on the line while we wait for Jabron. And let's see here. You'd think by now that these numbers would be entered automatically on our list. As so many listeners of ours are already added. And we thank you for your loyalty, knowing that, this is, I believe it's opening day for baseball. We saw some great action last night, on NCAA basketball. I mean, there are a lot of things that listeners could be into, but you've remained loyal every Sunday and every Tuesday, so we appreciate that. And I see my co-host, Mr. Jabron Clement, is in. Jabron, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing good. How about yourself, J.K.?
Well, I'm doing great, and we also have Mr. John Scully and Hugh Scully. How you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Oh, doing great, as usual. Jabron, you want to start out? Anything that jumped out to you this weekend? The Roscoe fight. Anything you want to start out talking about this evening?
It was great action on over the weekend for the ESPN fights. Once again, regular TV, we get to see great action. But just this back and forth action with Mr. De La Hoya and Golden Boy over there about trying to get this fight with Triple G, and it seems like Billy Joe Saunders is basically saying, I'm nobody's backup plan. So he's already they have made some calls to two opponents. One of them is it Eric Molina, if I'm not mistaken, and another possible opponent, surprisingly, David Lemieux. And he also called out Canelo yesterday. So it's really heating up. You know, it seems like Triple G is he might be on the outside looking in.
Well, now I'll give a little comment on that in a minute. Skelly, what do you think about this Golden Boy situation?
You know, to tell you the truth, you got to understand about me. I don't even read about, like, when they have issues with promoters and that type of thing, I don't even get involved. Like, I don't, I'm like the last guy to ask. I don't know anything about it. I hate the business of boxing. I hate reading about it. You know, when these things, you know, they have issues like this, I just kind of tend to shy away from it. So, Javon has much more insight on it than I do.
Well, what do you think about a possible, you know, match between Triple G and Andre Ward at 168?
Well, I mean, you know, the one thing I have just that I've been a part of, you know, with Chad, you know, anytime a guy comes down in weight, it's not a good thing. It's a terrible thing, and especially when they're not young. When you know, Andre's not a kid anymore. So coming down in weight, you know, to fight Triple G, who would probably not even come up all the way to 68. He'd probably weigh 64 and still be very strong. You know, you can't go in, you know, with Triple G at less than 100%. You know, with that being said, if Andre was at his best, if he could be at his best at that weight, you know, I think he's agile enough and tricky enough to carry the fight. But you know, it would be a huge fight for our game, and you know, it would go in line with some of the other fights we've had in the last few years that have come together. So I think if it was to happen, it would just be an added thing to shine on boxing. But you know, again, I wouldn't recommend to anyone to come down and wait, especially when you hit 28, 29, 30 something years old. It's not a good move, and it's never been a good move. And I could give you the list of guys. I mean, Sugar Ray Leonard, Roy Jones being prolific among them. It's not a good idea. It's never been a good idea for anyone. And, you know, I would advise against it.
What do you think, Jabron? Triple G and Andre at 168?
I mean, I would love to see that fight, but business-wise, I very seriously doubt that they would make that fight because it doesn't make financial sense. Triple G, he's popular, but he's not a megastar, and we know Andre Ward. You know, they're not putting a lot of butts in seats. Yeah, Triple G is an action fighter, but really, how many pay-per-view are they going to sell? 200,000, three at the most, if that. So the business of boxing, that fight won't get made unless Triple G and Andre Ward have some spectacular fights coming up, where they're being challenged and the public will demand a fight between the two. But until then, I don't see it happening.
Yeah. Until you really hear more about, you know, something like this being made, you know, I don't even know, you know, I mean, it, like you say, business wise, it doesn't make sense. Fan-wise, it makes plenty of sense, but, you know, hey, we'll just have to see. John, you know, there was another card up there in Worcester, Mass, this weekend. You know, once again, you know, it's one of those small club fights. John, are we going to see more of those fights, you know, in Mass and you know, maybe, you know, Verona, I mean, well, Connecticut, of course, Is this a fallout from the New York scene, or is this like, you know, the only way these guys are going to get noticed now that there's not a lot happening on that New York small club scene?
Well, no, this was in Worcester, Massachusetts, about a half an hour away from Boston. Jose Rivera, a fighter I used to train, he was a WBA world champion. It's his shows, and he put all New England guys on it. So there wasn't any guys from New York that weren't getting work anyway. So he had all New England guys. He did like you know, most pro shows have at the most maybe 7 fights, and his show actually had 13 fights, which was pretty incredible. And he did a great show. It looked like I would say about 90% full crowd, and good fights, good local fighters from all over New England, and things are looking up in Massachusetts, that's for sure.
John, I don't know how much you got this to see this weekend, but they were showing Quigley's hand after the fight. Did you get to see the way his hand looked?
No. I saw something online. People were talking about him, but I actually I didn't see. No, because like I said, I was not home. I've been in Massachusetts for the weekend, so I did not see it. But what was they showed us? What it was his hand. He had did he have surgery or anything on it?
Well, I think he had surgery on it right after the fight, I believe. But here's the diagnosis that they're saying, it's like a 1 in a million injury. It's a broken hand that detached and shredded the major tendon in his wrist. They're wondering whether or not he's going to be able to ever have strength in that hand. John, what's the consequences of a major tendon being detached or shredded, in your wrist, as far as, as much of power and what?
Yeah, nah, that's devastating, to a guy, yeah, that's could easily be career ending. Because once you get the hand, I've known several fighters who had, hand injuries, and and they never were able to, reach their full potential, and then most of them their careers were cut short because, it's not just the fight, it's the every day that hitting the bags, hitting the mitts, sparring. Your hands take quite a bit of abuse, and to you're lucky if your hands are at full strength, if they can take that type of abuse that we put on them every day in training. So for a guy with an injury that severe, that's a devastating blow. So he'll have to really do some. They'll either do surgery where they may. I don't know the extent of it and how it works, but. Like I know Mark Breland, for example, when Mark was an amateur, he got surgery on his hand, and I believe they put pins in his hand to make up for the weakness. So I don't know if that's something they can do, but from my knowledge, an injury of that extent, I mean that's not good news by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, like I said, by you being there, I'm sure, you know a lot more about it than, either one of us would. But I'm trying, there's a lot of, like you say, that this could possibly be a career ender for him. He's a good fighter. It's one of those guys that, he does his job. He does it very efficiently, but and I believe he was on the rise again. Like you say, this could be the end of all of that. Jabron, anything you have for Scully?
Yes, JJ. After
after an interview last week, this past week, Mikey Garcia had, speaking about that he would potentially fight Lomachenko, you know, and he feel like he's a little overhyped, and they have common opponents, and he done better. So Lomachenko fired back and said, if you're going to stay at 35, all they got to do is print up the contract, and we can make it happen. So what are y'all thoughts on that fight possibly being made?
I mean, as for me, I love it. I love the fight. That's one of the ones I would obviously pay to watch if I had to. You know, and I really like both guys. I like both of them, Mikey Garcia. You know, I would pick Mikey against most people. I would favor him against most people in or around that weight. But you know, Lomachenko, the issue with him is, it's not just he's a good fighter and he hits hard and the combinations, but it's the movement and the, you know, the slickness and the way he's all over the place is like a kryptonite for a lot of fighters that don't have, you know, great mobility and things of that nature, aspects of the game. And you know, Mikey, I think Mikey Garcia, he's never faced anyone like that, you know, with that type of mobility and punching off the angles. So, I mean, it's a very, very interesting fight, one that I would urge my friends in boxing to watch. You know, but off the top of my head, just first initial reaction, I would think that Lomachenko would outpoint him over the distance, but I'd be very interested to see if he could.
Yeah, I would love to see that fight also, but like you, John, I really think that Lomachenko and the movement, you know, would definitely give him the upper edge, you know. And you know, as I said, you know, when he came in and was fighting for a championship after only two fights, I was very skeptical about Lomachenko, but after watching him, you know, I mean, if you ever, you know, wanted to say that, you know, white men can't dance, all you have to do is look at Lomachenko in the ring. Because,
yeah.
I mean, when you look at it, I mean, you know, it is like a dancer. I mean, you know, so, sometimes he moves all the way out, sometimes he moves back in. I mean, you know, this guy has more movement for any boxer that I've seen in this generation, you know, and I would say it's second only to Floyd in his prime. And, you know, I mean, I really, although I do like Mikey and I like his punching power, I think Lomachenko negates a lot of that. But Scully, I know you were kind of pressed for time, but you were saying that you were in Mass, so I'm assuming you go to the fights down there in Worcester. And is there anything coming up as far as your usual cards up there what's the casino that you're always at, John?
Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun.
Foxwoods, yeah. Isn't there some big things coming up in Foxwoods also?
I was heard the other day they were talking about a couple big fights. I forget which ones it was exactly, but I heard that they were planning on the next maybe in April, later in April, there's a fight, but I honestly can't remember which one it was, but it was something that I was very interested in. But I'll tell you, the casinos, like Foxwoods especially, had a lot of fights there over the years. They've had, you know, I mean, I fought there like five or six times, but I mean, you had, you know, James Toney, Macho Camacho, Larry Holmes, Vinny Pazienza, Roy Jones. They were all there, and you know, they've really slowed down over the last couple of years. I'm not sure why, but
they don't do the amount of shows that they used to. It's really, really too bad. Mohegan Sun has probably done more shows over the last 2 years than Foxwoods has. Matter of fact, I'm sure they have. But I don't think they have anything necessarily planned for the foreseeable future. I have not heard. But, you know, I mean, I think a lot of people are trying to figure out what's going on in New York, how that insurance thing is going to play out. And, you know, they're going from there. I was supposed to attend a big seminar they had a couple weeks ago in Connecticut, but I wasn't able to make it. But I was telling you guys about it, how all the people from New York, the promoters and everything, the managers were coming to Connecticut for like kind of a powwow to meet and talk about these things. But I was not able to make it, so I don't know exactly what came of it. But I do know that Connecticut is making a push to snatch up all the fights that New York would be missing if this insurance rate hike does stay in effect.
Yeah, the fight I was thinking of actually was in Verona. It was ESPN on, I believe it's April 20th. You know, there's a lot of these ESPN fights that, you know, they're announcing the site as TVA. And so I was really thinking that some of these might find their way to Foxwoods. But, John, hey, man, thanks so much for dropping in with us tonight. We always appreciate the time you give us. Why don't you let everybody know where they can find you on social media and anything, any events that you might have coming up.
All right. Well, as usual, John the Iceman Scully at Facebook, and the Iceman is one word. Ice John Scully, or Iceman John Scully at Instagram and Twitter. I'm always on there posting a lot of boxing stuff. People, I think you'll enjoy it if you're a boxing fan. And, you know, I'm just, as far as me, I'm just keeping busy. As usual, I'm just waiting for the call from Arthur Beterbiev's people to go back up with him and get him ready, help me get him ready for what should be a fight for the mandatory spot for the IBF at 175.
All right, Scully. Well, hey, man, you know, like I said, thank you as always, and hope to see you next week, man.
All right, fellas. Have a good night. I appreciate it. Thank you. All right.
Yeah. All right, that was the Iceman, and as always, glad to have him stop by. The champ is a little tied up this evening, so Jabron, I actually cut us back a little bit this evening to a 60-minute show, but we still have a lot of things to talk about. King Kong Ortiz says he's ready to get back in the ring. Now David Hay is talking, you know, they're talking about him fighting another UFC fighter on the undercard of Floyd and Connor. Let's start with the ridiculous first. So what do you think about Hay being on the undercard of Floyd and Connor? I mean, is this more evidence to you that the fight is going to happen, or is this more evidence that this is like, you know, an April Fool's joke?
Nah, it's just a money grab. I mean, it could be an April Fool's joke, but it's just a money grab. We all know that. They're trying to get a piece of that pie. Go ahead.
Dana White is giving, you know, he's now giving his okay for the fight, but, you know, I mean, I can understand it being a money grab, but what happens if Floyd loses?
They'll have a rematch and get more money.
But you say that you'll just keep having matches until Floyd wins, right?
Please.
Oh, man.
So if Floyd loses, that means he wins anyway.
Hey, man, you know, like I said, you know, love him or not, man, you know, the one thing that Floyd doesn't understand is business. But
you said that David Haye, that was the ridiculous. I thought the ridiculous of the week was, and dang, Champ not here. Ooh, wait the next week. Old Champ going to get it. We got to get his boy on the phone. What in the world is James Toney doing back in the ring?
Oh, man. No, I gotta admit, I missed that one. You have to fill me in on that one.
Oh, yeah, at 48, getting back in the ring once again. After all those cigars, once again.
Yeah, we'll definitely wait for the champ to get back in that one there, but, you know. Maybe he'll decide to get back in the ring. But anyway, man, look. Yeah, man.
Yeah, stumped me with that, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, now you spoke of Mr. Ortiz. Seems like Al is making moves and making moves fast. He already got him scheduled to fight Rossi on the undercard of the Berto Sean Porter fight, April 22nd. And I think that's going to be aligned here soon for Al to basically clash Ortiz out. He'll put him in front of Dante and, you know, go from there, which, I mean, I feel that Dante should win. But, you know, he is King Kong and he does have some power. So, you know, I say maybe the first round he'll probably try to give Dante a run for his money. Once Dante get a little range, you know, he might take over the fight with his athleticism and the long jab. But I'm happy for Ortiz to be getting a fight. And, you know, the heavyweight division is trying to heat up here.
You know, we talk about, you know, a lot of these guys, Bob Arum and whatnot, but, you know, every time I see one of these young fighters and I hear the name Don King, I kind of cringe. You know, and I mean, you know, I come from a different era, so... You know, maybe, you know, I'm just, it's hard for me to let go of my image of Don, perhaps because, you know, I come from the same, you know, the same town, at least at that particular time. And, you know, and knowing what he's done to other fighters, I mean, what do you think, you know, do you think that some of these young fighters that are signing with Don, do you think that they're really going to be given a fair shake? And by a fair shake, I'm talking about, you know, just like I feel a certain way, I'm sure that there are other promoters and whatnot that also are very, very Don, especially, you know, when you have a chance, you know, you can deal with Don and kind of got Al in there as a buffer because Al has most of the fighters. Or, you know, do you just, do you think that it's the name recognition is the reason why a lot of the young fighters, well, not a lot, but you see some of these contenders being signed by Don King. And they are getting fights.
Well, I mean, they want to fight, but the question is, Bernie Mac said where's my percentage? What is the percentage? What are they getting? Because, it has to be little to nothing. Stavern, the only reason I think he's doing all right because he's getting a lot of he's been getting money in for this last situation, and then some more money for step aside before, and now they're talking about possibly giving him more step aside money because you know he's the number one mandatory for Dante Wilder now.
Yeah. But I think that has a lot to do. I mean, you know, that once again, that has, you know, that has a lot to do with these organizations, WBC, WBO, IBO, IBF, you know, GDD, ADD. I mean, you know, how many belts you got? How many, you know? I think, once again, kind of going old school, I think, we need to get back to, I don't know what I want to say, where we have one champ in every division, and I know that, the chances of that happening, I don't think I'll see it again in my lifetime, but maybe, but I think that's the only thing. I think that's what we need more than anything else. Go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you. Like, most definitely. I was just having that conversation earlier with someone. It's like the video game. When you playing the game, you don't get that title shot until you become the number one contender. You can't jump up from number eight and fight the champ.
Yeah. That's why I say, this sport is one of the very few. I mean, when the World Series is over with, it's it's the best two teams. It's not, let's play, the bottom team against the top. Hey, it's the two champs. They take it on, and that's it. You don't worry about the, who came in second and who came in third and all that. I mean, that's, you got one World Series champ, boom, bang, end of story. Another thing, we've been talking about women boxers and whatnot, and I do want to get more of them on the show, on our Tuesday show. But Ms. Taylor, she says she thinks that it's that women should have 3-minute rounds, not 2-minute rounds. She thinks waters down the sport. Now she's only 4-0, and she wants a title. But she's kind of like an Irish Ronda Rousey. She was on the undercard of this last big fight over in Manchester. What do you think about the women going 3-minute rounds? She thinks that you'd have more of a chance for knockout wins. Do you think knockouts would bring more fans to women's boxing?
The wrestling short traded in from the boxing short, that would get more fans. Remember, let's take it back, late 80s, early 90s. Do you know how many sports fans, do you know how many people that wasn't sports fans watch American Gladiators because it was some Even though they was muscular, but they was running around in some little spandex little swimsuit, playing football, wrestling each other, slamming each other, all types of stuff. And they was not sports fans just because the sex appeal.
All right. So you know that I watch lingerie football. So what? Come on. I mean, you know.
See there?
Yeah.
The truth comes out.
All right. No, I got busted. All right, so what? You know, but, you know.
I'm not, all right, JK, I'm not going to lie. I have a cousin that played, you know, professionally women's football in D.C., but I, besides supporting her as a family member, I never watched females football until last year when I was flipping through the channel and I saw something jiggling running down the sideline. I said, hold up, wait a minute.
And it's usually the thing that makes it so bad is usually like in between seasons for like, you know, 3 or 4 weeks where you ain't got, you know, where there's really nothing on to watch, you know, I mean, you know, no college sports unless you're into baseball or softball, you know. But hey, man, you know, like, you know, okay, like I said, you know, I'm busted now. But anyway, yeah. Yeah, you know, hey, man, hey, you know, hey, I've lived long enough to earn the right to be a dirty old man, you know, so I'm good with that,
go ahead.
And most of all, they're all legal, so, you know, I can't, you know, you know, hey, wasn't they over 21, at least over 18, you know what I'm saying, you know, and you know, I think the WBA, you know, if it hadn't been for, you know, a couple really bad examples, what was the chick that used to dump, you know, when she beat up her wife and whatnot, I mean, you know, you know, hey, I wouldn't be adverse to them either. But anyway, like you said, it is the sex appeal. But, you know, other than that, you know, do you think that 3-minute rounds is good for the sport? I mean, you know, for the women's sport.
Yeah, because I look at it as, you know, they want to get paid equal. So, hey, why not make it 3 minutes, you know? They want to be treated equally across the board, so make it 3 minutes.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, they're still not going to fight, you know, 10 rounders or nothing like that. So, you know, yeah, I could definitely see 3-minute rounds. I understand what she's saying.
But why not? You said they won't be 10 rounders, but why not?
Well, you know, first of all, I think, you know, you have to take baby steps. Now, I think either you can have 10, you know, 10 rounds of 2 minutes and then, you know, kind of bring it up. Or, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, starting out maybe, you know, 6 rounders or 8 rounders for 3 minutes, you know, but right off the bat.
Not off the bat, but you know, eventually get to that point.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, I think you know, with the way that if you look at the physique of you know, the modern athlete, you know, it's just inevitable. I really don't understand, you know, and this just maybe me, but I don't understand with all the medical technology and everything that's employed now, why we can't take our championship fights back up to 15 rounds. I mean, everybody's is fighting 12 rounders now. You know, even when they're non-championship bouts. So, you know, I mean, I think that that's another thing that, you know, it has always distinguished championship bouts, and I think we should bring it back. But what do you think about that, Jabron? I can also, I guess, go the other way with, the way athletes are built and all the medical things. Maybe we should go back to the 10-rounders for a championship fight. Well, your thoughts either way.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Championship fights, 10 rounds. That means you got to get out there and get on your job. You ain't got time to be giving rounds away and, oh, I'm going to figure them out and I'm going to do – nah, you got to get in there and get it done.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, there's no such thing as giving away a round or, hoping. You know, I mean, you either get it done or you don't. 15 rounds, I remember, the 15 rounders back in the day and they made so for some very – exciting fights. When you look at back in history, you see Muhammad Ali and the different fighters. But then you do also get a chance to give away three or four rounds and still. So,
JK. I feel like, and I could be going out on a limb, but I feel like they should, because it don't take that much to add 12 rounds or 10 rounds. I feel like we'll just say it's 10 rounds, championship fight, right? I feel like if they have it scored as a draw at the end of the 10th round, that they should go out there and fight one more round and lay it all on the line. No 12th round, just one more round. Like, if the scorecard saying is a draw, like, we're going to settle this round.
Yeah, that would be, to me, that would be, a great thing. Or you could say, it's a championship fight for 10 rounds with a limit of 15. In other words, if one fight, like you see, 11 rounds, one fighter wins, but suppose you don't, suppose it's a draw at the end of 11, then you keep going, with a maximum of 15. There's a lot of way you could work, work out the way to make the tie, I think that's a very good idea, though. Like you say, you fight for 10 rounds. If it's a draw, then you fight one more, we have a very, very few draws as far as in the championship fights. I don't think we have that many draws concerned about it in that area. 10 rounds, just like you say, 10 rounds, go one more, or, maybe 11 rounds, some odd number. What did you think about Linares? First of all, did you get a chance to watch the fights this weekend?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Last weekend.
Yeah, but he was part of the commentary team this week.
No commentary, JK. Fights was all volume off. A lot of times my commentary, I go back and watch the fights with commentary, and then I listen to different telecasts to get people's different opinions and, insights and stuff.
Yeah, I can definitely understand that. I've been watching fights with the volume off for quite some time. It's only because, I think a lot of the commentators are, instead of giving, their opinion, they're influenced a lot by the sponsors, in certain boxes. But speaking of the fights this weekend, it showed two of the guys from right here in San Diego. The first one, Mr. Macedo Hester, he fought Gilberto Gonzalez, heavy puncher from Mexico. They fought 10 rounds. Macedo won the fight. But I'm going to be very truthful here. I like Macedo. Like I said, he's been on the show a lot, a few times. We've gone and watched him here when he was fighting down in Del Mar. In fact, I believe we went to his last fight 17 months ago. My problem with Macedo is I don't think that he has the punching power to be a junior welterweight. But he's kind of stuck in a rabbit hole here because there's nowhere for him to go. He can't go down, and he can't go up. So he's kind of stuck here. He's not going to fight Antonio, mainly because there's no way that they're going to put butts in seats fighting each other. Unless they were, of course, fighting down here at the Sheraton in San Diego or somewhere like that. But a fight on ESPN2 between the two of them, no, that's not going to happen. And Antonio being the younger guy, the more known guy, he's going to get better offers than Macedo. Macedo is kind of, I don't want to say established himself as a gatekeeper, but I think he's stuck in a rabbit hole because of that, the punch of power. And, he can't go, he can't become a full welterweight. especially when he can't back anybody off. I mean, that was the one thing about Gilberto. If he had fought a different fight, I think there would have been a different outcome, especially when you see how Macedo acted when he got hit. So even though, he's a homeboy and whatnot, I don't see him, being able to break into the top 10 as a junior welterweight. Your thoughts on Macedo's fight?
Well, he got a hell of a chance because Gonzalez, boy, when he did land, man, you would have thought somebody hit the brakes on the car immediately, the way his head was jerked back. But yeah, I'm with you, man. He's kind of stuck. He's definitely stuck. He should have fought a little different fight, but that's what happened, man. When you get in there and the heat of the moment, sometimes you just engage.
Now his younger counterpart, Antonio, who fought Keandre, I was disappointed in Keandre's conditioning. I thought he came in the ring rather dry, even though he came in there looking like he was more posing for a Junior Olympia contest or a weightlifting contest than a fight. He seemed to be stiff. His punches, I could see him coming. You know, I mean, I don't know, you know, whether, you know, he was hurt before he got in the ring, I do know that when Antonio got that body shot in, from then on, Gibson was, you know, doing more to protect, keeping his elbows in, trying to protect that right side, which is what got him hit, and eventually TKO'd. Keandre, I think he might get another chance to show his skills and possibly get back into another, you know, maybe a mandatory spot for someone, but I don't. The hype was just too much. He couldn't live up to the hype. As far as Antonio, I've seen him fight quite a few times. He does possess a good punch, and I can see him possibly getting a title shot maybe 2018, but he... Coming back in, he seemed like to me he needed a lot of work to get up to that next level. But the good thing is that he can still make junior welterweight, if that's a good thing. Because as you and I know, junior welterweight, junior middleweight, all those classes are loaded. So what was your impression of the young man from San Diego?
Yeah, my thoughts is pretty much the same, JK. I was watching it, and when I seen him get clipped, I was kind of surprised, because when you watching it in, you know, live as it was happening, it sort of looked similar to like I wouldn't say like a phantom punch, but it just didn't seem like it was such of a hard punch. But then when you went back and you saw the replay in slow motion and where he hit him, it was like, ooh, yeah, that area right there, I could imagine. I know his ear was buzzing, everything. His equilibrium probably was a little off, but like you said, like, you know, these guys focus so much on their physique and instead of their ability, their skills, you know. And besides Bradley is the only person that I've really seen who could really pull it off with such a muscular physique and to be able to still be elusive. Like you said, the guy seemed robotic, but the business of boxing, I mean, we will find out in the future, you know, maybe it could have been something going on that we don't know in this corner, or something that happened in camp, or maybe he was dealing with an injury or a personal problem. We don't know. So, I hope he can bounce back from it and move forward.
Yeah, most definitely. Like I said, there's a chance that we might see Keandre, I think it had to be something that happened in a training camp, he thought he was I'll be all right, and I want the payday. Either way, but it just seemed like, there were a few things that were kind of off as far as, that like I said, that robotic look. But I'm kind of surprised because I think the first time I saw this guy fight, I believe it was on the Canelo Angulo fight. And I'm talking about Mr. Diego De La Hoya. He's Oscar's first cousin, 17-0 with 9 KOs. He's supposed to fight, I believe, Eric Ruiz on, let's see, what day is this?
I think it's in May, yeah. Right?
It's on. So therefore, we know it's going to be on the bottom. No, it's going to be in Arizona, in Tucson. What are your thoughts about Mr. Diego De La Hoya? It's definitely we can definitely see that he's being brought along slowly, almost being. I'll use the term spoon-fed opponents. Ruiz is 16-6 with 6 KOs. Your thoughts on Mr. Diego De La Hoya? He's a junior featherweight, which again is one of those classes that are kind of loaded when you talk about the top three, top five. You can maybe hang around like somewhere out of the top 10, right on the fringes. Your thoughts on Diego?
I'm trying to think of, oh, perfect. Wow, that'll be great for the segue. All right. Like you said, being spoon-fed, it reminds me about 8 years ago of a guy named Junior. And this guy was getting pay-per-view, Tecates, and all these Mexico pay-per-views. By the name of Chavez Jr., fighting people we never heard of, and getting these paydays. So that's what it reminded me of. You know, he was being spoon-fed until he stepped up in competition when it came towards Sergio Martinez. So we shall see what happened. I hope the same results don't happen. Where he's being spoon-fed and just like Junior, get to the mega fight and you get your butt kicked. So I hope they try to stiffen up his competition within the next year, get him some tougher fights. And with that being said, as we get closer to the fight, JK, any percentage of your body have any different thoughts on Chavez Jr.? Are you giving him any hope?
Am I giving him any hope? Yes, I give him a lot of hope. As things go on, and it looks like he is seriously, taking this fight very seriously.
I've been trying to tell you that for 4 months.
I understand that, but I'm still worried more about the inactivity before fighting somebody like Canelo. I would have liked to seen him maybe get something a little softer in between a tune-up.
He just fought in December. He fought more recently than Canelo. Canelo hasn't fought since September.
All right. Well, see, I'm uninformed.
He fought at 168 pounds, and he made the weight.
He made the weight, but from what I'm hearing, I'm taking this from Max Kellerman here, and of course, as I was saying, I'm used to. Lately, I've been watching more Undisputed, but when I did listen to Max and talking about Chavez, he's saying that he's already, in fighting weight. I believe the last weight I heard for Chavez was, 164?
That's the weight that the Canelo fight is going to be 164 and a half. He weighed in for the 30-day weigh-in at 176. So he's on track.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, they were saying is that he's definitely on track, from what everybody says about the training camp, I think he's taking it seriously. But, right now, I'm still in Canelo's corner, I think if Chavez is in shape and he can jump all over him and make it a short fight, I think it might be on Chavez. But if it goes into the later rounds, I got to think that Canelo has. The experience, thinking of the Floyd fight, when you talk about elusiveness, I'm sure, Canelo has that one, it's either in his archives or else, they burned up the tape, one of the two. But he should go back and watch it every day to see, exactly what happens, when you're able to evade punches, even though the other guy is a much heavier puncher. While I'm still not, going to bet the house on Chavez, I'm thinking about covering my bet.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh.
You hear me?
No. What you were saying, JK?
No, I was saying, as far as betting the house on Chavez, I don't think I would do that. But right now, I'm thinking about covering my bets since, Charlo is the underdog. So,
Right,
I was saying, I did cut this show a little short today. So, your final thoughts for the day, and let everybody know where they can find you on social media.
Well, once again, thank you, JK. Thank you to the listeners and Scully joining in. We had another great week of some boxing, free boxing. And looking forward to another great week in the boxing world. Keep your ears to the street. And I'm Jabron Clement. You can find me on Facebook at Jabron, J-A-B-R-A-N, Clement, C-L-E-M-O-N. Let them know where they can find you, JK.
Jabron tells you, you can find me on Facebook. James E. King, we're also under there on the Pugilist Corner, you can always catch us, Javon and I. We'll have some guests for you Tuesday, and you'll catch us here on Sunday with Iceman Scully and the champ, Layman Brewster. So we look forward to having you listen to our program every Sunday and every Tuesday. And we thank you so much for your presence. So have a good night, everyone, and we'll see you next week.